Well, our text for this morning is the Transfiguration account, which you heard read as Mark recounts it. Now, the season that began about 6 weeks ago with wise men from Persia following a guiding star all the way to see a revelation of God's Son now culminates today with the grandest revelation up to this point of Jesus and who he is. And of course, we shouldn't be surprised that it takes place on a mountain. That's where a lot of glorious things happen in the Bible. And we shouldn't be surprised that Moses and Elijah are there, because it was on a mountain that they too witnessed God in his glory. Moses stood by as God passed by, and the brilliance of God's appearance reflected off his face for weeks to come. Elijah later on stood on that very same mountain, and he had an experience of God as the Lord passed by. Only God wasn't in the earthquake, God wasn't in the fire that happened that day on that mountain, but instead we're told God was in a still, small whisper that Elijah heard. Now both Moses and Elijah were given instructions, things they were to do when they came down from the mountain, and both of them carried out their instructions despite the threat to personal safety that accompanied them as they often laid out the instructions God had given them to speak. And now today we are standing with Peter, James, and John and Jesus, and they witnessed this brilliant thing that the scriptures call a transfiguration. That's what they see. What do they hear? They hear the voice say, first of all, that Jesus is in fact God's Son. But secondly, they are told, listen to him. And that's the big question. Will they? Will they listen to him? Will their actions be guided by that awesome revelation of Jesus' glory? Will the fact of his divinity bolster their faith once they have returned to ground zero to carry out the rest of their days with Jesus? Can such a glorious sight actually transform an impetuous fisherman nicknamed the Rock? Can what they see actually change the temperament of two boys called James and John, who were given the nickname the Sons of Thunder, presumably because they had a pretty fiery temper from time to time? Well, thanks to the power of the written word, we find ourselves standing right alongside them this morning as we heard it read. And we too hear that voice say, Jesus has God's stamp of approval. He's the one. We also hear that voice say to us, listen to him. Listen to him. But of course, after seeing this fantastic display of power and majesty, which one of us wouldn't say, of course I'll follow you. I'll follow you as far as you lead, Lord. I understand who you are, and I want to be with you all the way to the end. And you know what? You're in a better position to do that and say that than they were, because you know the rest of the story. Yes, you know how sometime later Jesus' appearance will be altered in a completely different way. Body marked with lashes, whippings, beatings, hanging from a cross, scarcely recognizable, mocked by the crowds, dismissed by the leaders. But we also know that 3 days after that, his body will undergo another transformation, such that even the disciples aren't sure that they're seeing Jesus. Is this the same bloody corpse that we laid to rest? As he shines forth in glory that is reminiscent of what Peter, James, and John saw on the mountain. Nevertheless, just as Jesus' torture and crucifixion will cause their memory of what they saw on that mountaintop gradually to fade away, such that they are not going to be able to listen to him, they are not going to be able to stand with him in his time of need. So how about us? Do we find ourselves unable to listen to him despite all that we know, despite all that we confess with our mouths? And if that's so, why? Well, the answer remains the very same for us as it did for them. The fear of power being used against us. Oh yes, the rock refused to listen when Jesus said, you're all going to fall away. Not I. They may fall away, but not I, he said. But the political threats of arrest, the fear of experiencing that very same torture and possibly the very same ugly death caused them all to run away, caused the rock to crumble, caused them all to run away from the one to whom they were to listen. Now you and I face the same temptation to surrender ourselves to the powers that oppose God. If we argue that God has created all people equal, either we're going to be told to shut up and only talk that way in our religious families and communities, or we'll be labeled racists, white supremacists, pressured to adopt beliefs that say race is the most important matter, not character. Post pictures of child development within the womb that show clearly these are not random pieces of tissue, but an actual human being formed, and you'll be called a sensationalist and maybe even an enemy of women's rights put in your place. If you believe that God has created us male or female and post that on social media, good chance you're going to be accused of being a transphobe and perhaps even be deplatformed. If we maintain that parents have authority over their children such that doctors have no right to treat minors with sex-altering drugs without parental knowledge and consent, we will be accused of terrible cruelty and told that a five-year-old knows better about itself than its parents do. And if we say that people should be forgiven for their sins, if we say that they should be forgiven for past ignorant comments or statements or beliefs, we're going to be scorned for letting them off the hook, for being too easy on them. As the book of Revelation amply testifies, this struggle over power and its threatened use against us is nothing new. The various emperors demanded allegiance from Christians in a way that they simply could not give, and they paid a heavy price for it. Nevertheless, we have 4 centuries of history of people who did listen to Jesus in the face of threats, in the face of exile, in the face of death. And we call those people martyrs. Now, it's easy to dismiss what's going on and saying, yes, that happens a lot in totalitarian countries like Russia and China and maybe a South American dictatorship here or there, but that doesn't happen here in the United States, the land of the free. Well, it is happening. An anti-abortionist group was kicked off YouTube this past week. Numerous people continue to lose their jobs because of what they say and are immediately pounced upon by the internet and canceled. If we are silenced or shamed into silence by the culture because of our beliefs, is that really a minor problem? How does conforming to these cultural demands square with our Lord's command to listen to Him? Our Lord has given us great promises to bolster our faith in these uncertain times. How Jesus looked on that Mount of Transfiguration was also a preview of how you are going to look on the day of resurrection if you remain faithful to Him. St. Paul writes, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs, God's heirs, and heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we might share His glory. And that you might share that glory, God has given you a very precious promise. I will never fail you or forsake you. In our day, the psalmist might have written, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can Twitter, what can Facebook do to me? Jesus reminds us, don't fear Him, don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Jesus has told His disciples, don't worry what you will say if you're called before account, whether that account caller is a judge or somebody on the internet. Don't worry about what you say. The right words will be given to you in that time. But what happens If despite our best intentions, we succumb to those threats of scorn or being silenced or even losing our job. The Lord restored repentant Peter. He forgave all the disciples who turned tail and ran from him. And he holds out that same promise when we are too afraid to listen to him and, in fact, surrender. During the upcoming season of Lent, we find ourselves singing, "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love." If you falter, if you fail to remain loyal under the pressures from our vicious cancel culture that's infecting our country these days, listen to those words. Take them to heart. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, love for you. Amen.